Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Think about what can go right when you plan for the future. Talk to a financial broker and start your savings plan today.
And speaking of getting to where you want to go quickly, our next guest, Michael Johnson, is without question one of the greatest athletes of our time. He's an Olympic champion sprinter with four Olympic gold medals to his name. And since retiring from professional sport, he's forged a new path as an activist, a philanthropist and an entrepreneur and also a high performance behaviour coach. He's brought his expertise to Dublin this week to be part of the Pendulum Summit. And we're delighted to say that Michael Johnson joins us now. You're very welcome to Drive Time this evening, Michael.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
You're also very welcome to Ireland. I wonder, what are your impressions of Ireland and indeed Dublin?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. As much time as I've spent in the UK, this is actually, almost embarrassed to say, my first time ever to Ireland. And then, unfortunately, I just got in yesterday and I have to leave tomorrow. So I'll have to come back.
Okay, so you haven't had a chance to really take the tour. No problem, you absolutely will have to come back. I know that you are here, as I mentioned, to take part in the Pendulum Summit in Dublin. Can you tell me a little bit about what you were talking about and what was the reaction?
Yeah, so the audience was obviously, here just because they all want to, everyone's trying to be better. Everyone's trying to figure out, sort of success and how to get there and post-pandemic or even more so, there's a lot to figure out in the complex world when you're trying to overcome the challenges of life and a business and trying to do great things. And so, I've been really fortunate as an athlete to learn some very valuable lessons that were instrumental not only in the success I was able to achieve as an athlete, but similarly as a entrepreneur. And so my objective today was to share, what I've learned and the sort of behaviors that are required to accomplish great things and overcome the challenges of life. And so, what I shared with the audience today was, some of those things that I've learned and told some of the stories of, my career and how I was able to overcome challenges and apply the things that I learned, not only as an athlete, but in my post-athletic careers as a television pundit and as an entrepreneur as well.
Yeah, and I want to talk about some of those challenges that you faced in just a moment, but I know that there has been a huge growth in the sector of motivational speaking and self-help books and self-help gurus over the last couple of decades, the last 20 years maybe. And you say we have to be very careful who we listen to.
Yeah, because there are, first of all, anyone that calls themselves a guru or, be very careful. I think that, there are a lot of well-meaning people out there as well giving advice, and there are certainly, many people out there that are looking for help and support in terms of how you overcome, the challenges of life and solve problems and how do you succeed in life. And people are looking for that, and there are a lot of well-meaning people out there providing support and advice. But what I find is that even those that are well-meaning, many times they're telling people, they're giving that advice from their perspective. And everyone's journey is very, very different. And so, I listened to someone the other day, talking to some clients of mine in the tech startup space, which is certainly very difficult and founders are under a tremendous amount of pressure. I've been there myself as one. And I listened to someone talking about, how daring you have to be and, telling them that, you got to take risks, you got to take chances. What I knew about this individual is that daddy had a lot of money. So, you can take, a lot of risk when there's that incredible safety net underneath you that you know that you'll never fall. Whereas, a lot of my clients who are some founders who, they don't have that to fall back on. They're not in a position to take those sorts of risks.
So do you feel a huge responsibility then? Because you would obviously have a huge fan base. People would have grown up with you. They would admire you hugely across the world and would listen very carefully to what you say. So do you feel a huge responsibility then in being careful what you say and what advice you give?
Absolutely. And, I learned that lesson very well myself when I, started my first company. And, having, 40 plus employees who are all looking to me saying, hey, Michael, I had employees coming to me saying, you know, just tell me how you do it, and I'm just going to, you know, sort of carbon copy that. And I was, you know, aware of the fact that, no, if you do what I did, you're probably not going to succeed. Everyone needs to find their own way. And my job then as a manager of people in that situation was to help them, you know, discover for themselves, what's your success strategy? What is your, you know, sort of path to success? And how do you, you know, develop that sort of strategy for success based on who you are? Mm-hmm. And so yeah, people look to me and I feel like, yes, absolutely. I have to be very, very careful. But in addition, I feel a responsibility, you know, being a speaker in this space to try to help people recognize that, you know, you don't take everyone's advice just sort of, you know, full on, because it may just be from their perspective, which may not apply to you.
You've mentioned the various challenges that you faced in your life and in your career, and outside of the sporting side of your life, you recovered from a stroke just 5 years ago. I was reading a little bit more about your experience with that earlier. It's really fascinating how you learn to walk again, and I suppose that news that you got from the doctors, that they couldn't tell you how much better you were going to get, or how quickly you were going to get better, or indeed if you were going to get fully better at all.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those situations that, yeah, it was very, very scary. But, you know, that's one of those things as well, you know, just in thinking about, you know, people, you know, we love cliches, and, you know, and people love to say that, oh, the doctors told me I can, you know. Lots of people in my position would sit here right now, you know, now that I'm healthy and I'm thriving and back to where I was before I had the stroke, would be saying, you know, oh, the doctor said I would never walk again. No doctor ever said that to me. Every doctor I talked to said, hey, you know what? We can't guarantee you anything. We don't know how long it's going to take for you to recover or if you will recover. But if anyone's going to do it, it will probably be you. You know, and I got nothing but encouragement. And that's what I wanted to just hear the reality of the situation, because I can deal with that if I know what's ahead of me. And the reality was that, yeah, you know, it's going to be up to you. We can't tell you that you're going to make a full recovery. And that was very scary. With every day when I started to get into rehab, you know, I started to gain more and more confidence in myself and my ability to make a full recovery once I realized, yeah, what it's going to take.
The first day that you were trying to walk again using a walking frame, I know that you covered 200 metres and it took you 10 minutes. And of course, you broke the world record in Atlanta over 200 metres at 19.32 seconds. What was that day like?
It was very encouraging, because while it would, on the surface, it would seem that it would be very discouraging, throughout that 10 minutes, it became obvious to me what this is going to require. I could feel myself during that 10 minutes working with the therapist. As that therapist was coaching me, it was very familiar to me. And I felt within this recovery, you know, is something that, you know, I'm actually probably pretty well equipped, you know, for this journey, because it was very, very familiar to my Olympic journey, you know, very small marginal improvements every day, keeping myself motivated, understanding, you know, what's going to be required of me to get back to where I need to get to and achieve the goal. And certainly, you know, there was no greater motivation ever. You know, even more so than the motivation to win Olympic gold was the motivation to walk again and not be a burden on my family and people, and to be able to get back to my livelihood, my life, which has always been very active and very physical and outdoors and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and there's another aspect to your life now that wasn't always there either, which is activism. And you've been using your social media in the last few years to speak out on social issues. I believe it was the killing of Ahmed Arbery in February 2020, and many people will be familiar with that story, that really affected you and prompted you to decide to start speaking out on certain issues.
Yeah, and, you know, the Ahmaud Arbery situation is now, you know, that his death was about 3 years ago, and it struck me because he was a runner. He was just out running in his neighborhood and was targeted because of his color. And, you know, that it probably has gotten lost now because we have so many of those situations in America, too many. George Floyd, of course, is one that everyone will remember. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, myself, amongst many other athletes and people with a platform, are trying the best we can. I believe that certainly in America right now and other places in the world as well, we're in a real battle for equality, true equality. I believe that we, you know, somewhat were lulled into believing, you know, over the last several decades that we had reached equality because, yeah, we had a black president, you know, or, you know, the civil rights movement, you know, got us, you know, on par. And now I think a lot of us are realizing that, you know, there's a tremendous amount of institutionalized racism within the systems that are designed to continue to keep minorities and marginalized groups, women, you know, LGBTQ community, black people, immigrants, from gaining true equality. Because at the end of the day, you know, someone is benefiting from that inequality. And in order for things to be truly equal, they believe that they're going to have to give up some privilege, and people don't want to give up their privilege.
And what sort of reaction do you get on social media to all of that, to speaking out, Michael?
Well, you know, I think most of us realize at this point that there's a small minority of people, to be honest, that are fighting, but there are a very powerful minority of people that are fighting. And then there are people who, you know, are on the other side of these issues who don't believe in fairness for everyone. Those people are in the minority. So I think that, you know, so the overwhelming response that I get is support and appreciation that I'm, you know, using my platform. And but, you know, the other thing too is there are probably some people out there, there are definitely, and I've heard from some of the people that don't appreciate my position, and I actually don't care.
Well, there's some advice that I think we could all take, talking about giving out advice when it comes to social media, at least. I just might ask you finally, I don't know if you're aware, but Ireland hasn't won an Olympic medal in athletics in quite a few years. The last time was 2012 when Rob Heffernan won bronze for the 50-kilometre walk. But this week, an Irish athlete has been making headlines. Rashida Adeleke from Dublin, she broke the Irish record for indoor 200 metres and has run the fastest indoor 200 metres of the year so far, and she's actually based in the University of Texas right now. I know you'd like to keep a very close eye on young athletes. I wonder, is she on your radar?
Yeah, somewhat. You know, I typically don't really focus too much and have too many of the young athletes on my radar because most of the time, you know, you have to wait to see how they're going to progress and if they're going to actually make it to that next level, despite the talent and the potential that they may show early. But this young athlete, I started to see her last year, I think, Commonwealth Games, and the fact that she's also at the University of Texas, which is in my home state of Texas. Very impressive so far, has some real potential. And, yeah, it'd be great to see her continue to thrive. The NCAA championships indoors coming up here in March, should be the first week in March, will be a real test. And I think that at this point, she has a very, very good chance of winning the NCAA championships, which is the college championships in America. And if you can win that, which is extremely competitive, then it certainly sets you up for greater things later. And then she'll move, obviously, to the outdoor season. And then this is a world championship year with the Budapest World Championships in August.
So you wouldn't think of doing a bit of coaching, help Ireland get over the line?
I don't want to risk making anyone slower, so okay. Maybe not.
Okay, we'll let you off on that one.
Well, maybe some mental coaching. I can handle that part.
Okay, Michael, listen, it's been a pleasure to speak to you, and thank you very much for joining us. That is Michael Johnson, and there are limited tickets available for tomorrow's event. That's pendulumsummit.com.